All right, we'll call the meeting of Agriculture, Rural Economies, Veterans Affairs, Finance to order. Representative Brown moves the minutes of March 3rd. Any discussion? Are you on over there?
Yes.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Again, we've got one, two, three, four, but two of them are going to be done together first, I guess, bills. And then we'll get out of here, members. We have a lot of work to do. Again, just some scheduling things before we start for you and for audience members. Working with the Republicans and others. I'm looking for my phone. It's making noise in my pocket. And I don't want it to ring. No, it's not ringing.
Say hello.
But to remind everyone, we do have our penalty. Shut your phones off. If they ring, it's $1 to the coffee jar, and if you answer it, it's $5. Schedules, as people know already, but for those that don't, we got our targets from leadership on Friday late, and we've been working now yesterday and today to try. We're going to try by the end of the day or early tomorrow morning have our bill written so we can have it in committee tomorrow at 10:30. And I've given an updated spreadsheet just now, Representative Magnus, to Representative Hamilton. He can share that with you. Still a worksheet, and I'm sharing that with our folks too, and I assume you're sharing it with yours. We're fluid. If we can get it out tomorrow, if people are fine with it and we can move it out tomorrow, we will. If we can't, we'll come back Thursday night. We'll lay the bill out tomorrow best we can. We'll come back Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. We've reserved a room to do that. So, again, it's up to the committee. I'm very flexible on that. I will tell you the ever-thoughtful Senate, if you're not aware, laid their bill on the table, and it took about 10 minutes, and they were done. There was no testimony. There was no questions, and they just moved it out in 10 minutes. But that's the thoughtful Senate. So we may want to take a little more time on it than that. But, again, that's just – and then over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at all the other bills that are around this place and assembling them, we hope, before the Easter break into something that we can – send out. So this is strictly a budget supplement that's going out of here this week for veterans and for agriculture, which will then be assembled in a large, about a $300 million State Department's, we'll call it, bill, everything except health and education. That then will be assembled on Friday of this week and probably out onto the floor by the end of next week, I'm guessing. And the Senate's doing the same thing. So we're kind of on a fast track. I guess that's okay, considering we're leaking money every day in this place. And the faster we act, the more we save into the future, too. So we're at least trying that exercise this year and seeing if it works. So any questions to that? Otherwise, I think we'll move on. I see a Davids and a Welty from Southeast Minnesota who have two bills that are pretty much, if not exactly, identical. And so welcome to the committee. We miss you in agriculture, Representative Davids. I don't know why you shunned us. As a former chair, at least asking to be on our committee would have been nice, but we're glad to have you back in front of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. And just for the record, if you look at my requests for committees, agriculture was number one. It had a conflict with taxes and the powers that be. So then I requested that I could be on both and kind of do shuttle diplomacy as I have done in the past. That was not approved, probably wisely, by the Speaker, but it was my number one request.
All right.
So with that being said, the House File 3057, now, Mr. Chairman, would it be the intention if for laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus type bill?
What will depend on both of your bills is if we have to do a... If we have to put money into this, and we're going to try and figure that out today or tomorrow, then it would be in the supplemental bill coming out. If there's really no money, then we'll put it in a bill coming in a couple weeks. But either way, we're laying it over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I do not believe it costs any more money. I believe that the money's already been appropriated. And what House File 3057 does is it includes Fillmore County for the possibility for a veteran cemetery. After the report has came out regarding this issue, it looks like there'd be one most likely in the Duluth area, one in the Redwood County, located in Redwood County, and for the southeast, the bill I have says Fillmore County. The Department of Veterans Affairs and various groups have been down to Fillmore County and have talked to county board members, and Senator Ropes has been active in this issue, and so we're moving forward looking at the possibility of a veterans cemetery in the Preston, Minnesota area in Fillmore County. And that's what this bill does. Very simply, it includes Fillmore County. They have a site that they're looking at. Of course, things haven't been nailed down by any means. It's in negotiations at this point. And with that, I would defer to Representative Welty with his House File 3180. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Representative Welty, welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, and to Representative Davids. This issue actually came to us rather recently. Many of you probably remember the discussions that we had when the state director of veteran cemeteries came in just a couple weeks ago and informed us that a study had been done, and then we looked at the conclusions of that study. And as many of you will remember, he showed us maps, and on the map at the time he mentioned that if we were looking at southeastern Minnesota, we would look at the Stuartville area and then the surrounding area to locate a veteran cemetery. Well, that caught me a little bit by surprise, because this was the first time that I had heard about this report, and then to hear that we were looking at a community in the district I represent, you know, it was the first time I had heard that. So what I did is, just recently I contacted a number of veterans organizations in my area just to find out if they were even aware that this report had been done, and if they had been contacted, if they knew of the process that they had to go through in order to put a proposal together for a veteran cemetery. And what I found out is, for instance, from the 1st District Legion commander in our area, he had said that he was made aware of the study, that there had been discussions, but he didn't know anything about the process that they were to go through. I also contacted the veterans organizations in Plainview and Stuartville, Austin, Yoda, and when I contacted them, most of them were not even aware of the study, and most of them were actually surprised that a study had been done and that we're looking at a veteran cemetery in our area, and they would be interested in maybe putting together a proposal. And so what this language does is it just leaves it open-ended and says that we're appropriating money for a veteran cemetery in southeastern Minnesota. And what I would encourage the State Department of the State Director of Veterans Cemeteries to do is put out a request for proposal to all of our veterans organizations in the area, letting know that the study's been done, and then seeing if there is other land that is available that could be donated, and then look at several sites, and then have those the determination made by the director and then the local veterans organizations. Mm-hmm. So I have no issue with Representative Davids and the Preston site at all. What I'm just saying
with
is
Representative Davids or with this bill?
With either one.
Either one. Very good answer.
So what this bill does is simply leave it open-ended, and then hopefully we could allow all veterans organizations in our area to weigh in with proposals that they may have, and then move forward with a consensus in southeast Minnesota, because I really see this as being done once. Right. In southeast
Minnesota. And you're both correct. The study did indicate there was a need for a cemetery in southeast Minnesota. Let me give folks an update, too, on this committee. As you see this bill, there was money appropriated for Redwood County. Basically, what I think is probably wise is not to be as specific. Here's an example. Here's what our veteran cemetery folks actually looked for: publicly owned land in Redwood County and for people that would donate land in Redwood County. Unfortunately, they just drilled right into Redwood County, and that was where they looked. I happened to be driving one day in southwest Minnesota, not far from my house in Randall County, and I drove by the state park, Fort Ridgely State Park. I said, boy, this is only a few miles from Redwood County. Didn't they look here at a state park that's actually a fort, an army fort? And In committee that day, they indicated no, they had not looked beyond the Redwood County boundaries. Well, we got a map this week, and we worked with Bob Myers over at DNR, and came down. He gave us a layout of the Fort Ridgely site, and we think there's probably 50 or 60 acres available there that could be used for a cemetery, free of charge. We don't have to buy it. All we have to do is develop it. And what a wonderful site if that's the case. It's on a fort. There's a golf course there, Representative Davids. I know that would enthuse you to go over and visit the fort and the cemetery and utilize the golf course and the horse riding trail. So what I'm suggesting is this committee and the legislature, you know what the price, we need 50 or 60 acres. This isn't going to buy that, probably. $500,000 won't go that far. I know what farmland's worth down there, and it's worth a lot more than that, even your set-aside acres. So what we're going to encourage them to do is work with you all, and you know the neighborhoods as well as anyone. Where is the public land, whether it's city or county or state-owned lands, all kinds of it around? And that would be our first choice, is to find a suitable site that's publicly owned. Certainly, if someone wants to donate 50 or 60 acres, that would be real intriguing to us too. But I think in Minnesota we can find land that's available with your help down there, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. At the Preston site, the land that they're looking at is owned by the county, and it would be a donation type situation from what I understand.
Good. So what we'll, again, I just don't want to lock in. I know you live in Fillmore County, but if we could just say, that surrounding area, which would be southeast, and then like Representative Welty said, then get people that have that interest in and observe the site. We don't know if the sites are right either until we have them. What's the karst underlying there? Where's the water tables? It has to be right for cemeteries too. Some of our other sites, we indicated we found Indian burial grounds on some of them. There was a whole host of reasons why we couldn't utilize some of the sites in north east Minnesota, and we're still searching up there too. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. The Welty bill, of course, is more inclusive, and I really don't have a problem with that either, because the powers that be have been to the Preston site. They've seen it, and if it's the best site, that's where it would most likely go. If it's not, then it probably shouldn't be there.
But. Good. And Mr. Chair, just one other point I want to make. Representative Demmer dropped in a bill for southeast of Minnesota veteran cemeteries as well. And you'll see there are many co-authors, and I don't think on my bill, and I don't think the co-authors disagree with the Preston site either. It's just, let's just open this up and let all of the communities weigh in on this and come forward with their proposals and then see what the best site is.
Before we go on, Beckman Middle School, is that what it is? Beckman, where you guys are from? Who's from Beckman Middle School? All of you? Bachman. B-O-E-C-K-M-A-N, Bachman Middle School. These are 8th and 9th grade students that have joined us. I just want to point that out to folks. They're with the Minnesota History Society Capitol Historic Sites Voice of the People. Your role in Minnesota government, tour and education. So, rather than having to sit in their classroom, they get to come down to the Capitol today, and that's much better, isn't it? Yeah, all the heads are nodding. So we're in here. This is the Agriculture and Veterans Affairs Committee. Right now we're talking about, we have, you're probably aware, veteran cemeteries where we bury veterans after they're deceased. You see that over by the airport at the Fort Snelling Cemetery, but you also see it up at Camp Ripley, if you've ever been up there. By Little Falls, we have a need for two or three other cemeteries in the state, and these folks are presenting a bill for one in southeast Minnesota, down south of Rochester. So that's what you're hearing going on right now. So welcome to the committee. Hope you have a good time at the Capitol. Representative Szymanski has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to either one of the representatives at the table. I think a few weeks ago when we heard this cemetery issue, my question, I guess, is the cemetery in southeastern Minnesota, would it extend across the borders? Could veterans from surrounding states also request burial there?
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chair Junkin. Representative Szymanski, from my understanding, yes, when they build a cemetery, it is not just to limit within the state, it does include outside the state borders. And that's why when they do these studies, they look at the populations and the veterans that are going to be served, and they look at all communities, so it's not just state within state border.
Thank you.
That's all remembered, too. It's open to any veteran, and it's the federal Department of Veterans Affairs that ultimately pays for it. We maintain it. It's our cost to maintain, but they will pay for the construction and the site development on those things. So it is open then to all veterans. Any other questions for these fine gentlemen? All right. Well, we like your bills a lot, and we're going to get them included some places here as they move out. So for now, we're not going to take any action. They're just here for information, and then we will call them up when we put together a larger bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks for coming. Are you ready, Mr. Hamilton?
I am.
All right. Okay, and again, members, House File 3113 is before us for information. If we include it anywhere, that'll be done in the next few days, probably, on this one. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Will this bill be rolled over for possible inclusion?
That's correct.
I'd like to move then House File, what do we have here? House File 3113 be rolled over for possible inclusion, held over for possible inclusion, Mr. Chairman.
We got it. Proceed.
And before I start, there is one oral amendment I'd like to make.
All right, shoot.
And it is on line 1.7. The 2012 would be changed to 2011.
Okay, Hamilton moves the oral amendment, line 1.7, change 2012 to 2011. Any questions on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Representative Hamilton.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what we have before us, this would be a grant to the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans to provide assistance to veterans and their families who are homeless or in danger of homelessness. And it would include assistance including housing, utilities, employment, legal assistance. And this program would be coordinated with all available programs that are there as well. I do have a few testifiers, Mr. Chair. Kathy Vitalis is here, and I'd like to turn it over to her if I could, please.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the tape and then proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Junkie and committee members. Kathleen Vitalis, Executive Director, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. And what I know many of you are very familiar with us. I have provided you a handout, and I'm going to take just a few minutes to step through the slides to provide a quick update, some trends that we're seeing. And then I have four of our veterans that wanted to give some brief testimony as to our programs for you today.
I'm going to get our pages to turn on the overhead, too. As you're going through the handout, if you can put it on the overhead in front of you, then people can see it, even though you don't have it hooked up to a computer. Let's see how Arlen works here with the technology. Otherwise, we'll get one of these ninth graders down. They're pretty good. There it is. There's a Zoom button there, too. Whoop, you had it. Now you've backed off, Arlen. You had it a minute ago. There.
There you go.
And then you want to zoom in.
I'm starting on page 2 of your handout because we already, you know our mission and you know our, so.
There you go. Keep zooming in until you get one of those frames where you want it. We'll let Hamilton run that while you talk, Ms. Vitalis.
On this. Okay, the first.
Zoom in more. We can't read that yet. We got people in the audience. Okay. That's what we're looking for.
That's all the farther it goes.
That's all farther? All right. Well, we'll leave it there then.
The first, I just wanted, yes, we get $500,000 now through an appropriation, and this is an ask for an increase to that appropriation based on the increased need and trends that we are seeing. Any amount of funding that would be appropriated would directly address the increased need that we're seeing and allow us to serve a few more veterans and their families. Okay, if I move it like this, right. Our results show the effectiveness and efficiencies of our programs. I know that I've talked a lot about that before. We also, in November, and I need to point out, got a national award from the VA, Secretary Shinseki, for how we implement and all of our outcomes that we do provide, and I've put a copy of that award and what it meant in your handout as well. In 2009, over 840 veterans in 62 counties. Now, we are statewide. That's all 87 counties. This just happened to be where we served veterans last year. This is a 58% increase over 2007 with the same amount of staff.
Can you, I'm going to ask you a question before you leave there. When you talk about intense case management in 62 counties, what might that include?
What we do with our outreach staff is we work very closely with the county veteran service officers, with other county personnel on following. We don't just pay a rent. We'll pay the rent, but we try to get at the underlying causes of why are they here? What's happening? Do they need financial counseling that could be provided through LSS? Do they need other services in order to stabilize them? So that's what I'm referring to, intensive case management.
That's what I'm getting at, I guess. You answered it partly, but I want to know more. How are you interfacing now with our new CORE program? Because that's available in every county now through LSS, like you just mentioned. That could be financial management, could be mental health counseling, and other things, educational stuff. I guess what I'm getting at, I hope we're not duplicative. I hope that just like the County Veterans Service Office is referring down to the CORE program now, that you're doing the same. Is that what you're talking about? You'll identify someone and get them into a referral situation with the CORE program?
Yes, we do not duplicate services. We use our funding for the rent, the utility, the assistance that they need, while in our case management, we say, you know, there's a really good program that the state offers that you need to go to. Our staff knows about all of these other programs to avoid duplication.
And remind us, where do you have actual owned facilities? What towns?
Our offices are in Duluth, Mankato, and the Twin Cities, and we have the Radical Town Homes, 11 units for disabled veterans in Mankato. We have 8 homes we use for structured independent living for transitional homes for veterans in the cities, one in St. Cloud. And we have a 13-bed residential facility for homeless veterans on the VA Medical Center campus in Minneapolis. And we have a project in West Ramsey in Duluth that is a rehab of 2 buildings that's ongoing right now that will provide permanent and transitional housing for veterans.
So when you say 840 veterans in 62 counties, so my county, Candy Eye, doesn't have a facility. Does that mean my veteran is being served in St. Cloud or Minneapolis or Mankato, or how are you interfacing with veterans in my county? I'm trying to understand the 62 counties here.
Sure. You have to separate our direct housing that we provide. That is one of the services that we have, but that is separate from all of the work we do for prevention and homelessness. So in this case, sir, in your county, Sue Sorensen, my regional director in Mankato, will get a call. She will work. She will go to that veteran if she needs to work with them on their situation. It does not involve the Radical Townhomes at all. Right. It's about stabilizing them and using some of these other grants.
But again, I'm trying to, again, drill down so that we're not duplicative.
Yes.
Why would Sue Sorensen get a call as opposed to our County Veterans Service Officer and LSS in Wilmer? Why would Sue get a call to come up there and expend time and energy when services are available already in the county?
She would be called in. Sometimes we're the first entry point because they'll know our program. We immediately make sure we connect with the County Veterans Service Officer because it's that full working together that's going to get this veteran all of their services. But there are, and that's where we come in, there are gaps in funding and services that we fill. like that last safety net. Very often, the county veteran service officers are calling us because they don't quite have exactly what they need, and they need our assistance with the type of programs that we have.
So, again,
so we work together.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be redundant. What would my county veteran service officer call you for that wasn't available in Candiwai County? Why would they call Mankato for me?
I can give a very specific, there are eligibility with the state programs, a variety of different eligibility. If someone perhaps didn't quite fit that eligibility, they don't have a disability, they don't have, then it's, well, what we still need to do something for them. I wonder if MACV can come in and fill. So it's about programs
like
and
what?
Different
what's
eligibility.
I want real specific. What would be missing that you would do that they wouldn't qualify for anywhere else in my county?
One thing, sir, is timing.
It's on the list now, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
One is a timing issue. We are very, very, and we work a lot with that, with the county veteran service officers. We are very quick to react to situations. So as an example, a CVSO will get a veteran in their office, put them in for benefits, put them in for different programs, but today, this week, tomorrow, we need to do something to stabilize this veteran.
I really want specifics. So what are you doing to stabilize the veteran within a day or two?
That can't
be done in the county. I really want specifics.
I can absolutely get you case studies of actual veterans in your county and can provide that.
Right.
But it would be paying a utility shutoff, paying a rent.
Okay.
Working with them on something that is imminent, and that's why we say in crisis or preventing homelessness as well. Helping is that, I mean,
well,
we show
better.
Our collaboration all
right,
the time
right.
with.
And again, I'm trying to figure out why they wouldn't qualify for a CVSO grant for that too.
There's different, and you know, I know that the department is here, but there are different, like SSAP is based right. on levels
I mean,
of disability.
I'm not doubting that you work with all these people, but what we're trying to do in this place is not duplicate, and you know, that's the core program now is out there, and I'm hoping that's alleviating, so you can concentrate more on your housing and your some of the great things you do in some of these cities with the housing that, you know, we're hoping you don't have to be everything to everyone in the state. We're trying to get more localized programs in every county.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm trying to understand what would be missing in my county for the future so that we're not driving from Mankato to Wilmer, a 2.5-3 hour drive to service a veteran, that there's
mm-hmm.
something available closer to that veteran. And I'm just using my county as a speak. I mean, we can start talking about Thief River Falls. Are we going to talk? I mean,
sure.
There's time and money and energy spent by your office. Not that it's bad, but what can we do so we don't have to do those long distance things?
Well, I think all the time, Chairman Junkie, we're constantly looking at any duplication, and we're constantly working with the CVSOs and everyone in those counties on who can best meet this need. And sometimes with the quickness that something is needed and based on other program eligibility, we also, as a couple of my slides show, we leverage federal funds that we can use for rents. That, you know, we try to get all available federal funds in here as well. So we have access to grants and funding that we try to leverage with the county.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. We're talking about 2009 results. What was 2009 base funding for MACV?
From the state, $500,000.
So you get $500,000 a year base funding?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the work that you do. I think you're doing good things, but my concern is right along the line of what Chairman Junkie was talking about, in that you know, we've got veteran service officers in every county. We've got your program. We've got the CORE program. We've got the state veterans programs. We've got federal programs. And we just keep adding one program on top of another. And, you know, and so I'm really curious to see or to find out how many dollars out of the $500,000 that you've been given a year are actually ending up in the hands of veterans. And I'd like to see that with all of these other organizations as well. And, you know, because every time we add another layer, there's more dollars that are going into it without necessarily more dollars ending up in the hands of veterans, at least not a higher percentage of the dollars going into the hands of veterans. And there's no doubt that there's a need out there, but the more administration expense we have, the less good we're accomplishing with those dollars. And it just seems to me when we've got so many programs or organizations trying to accomplish the same thing that we have to be duplicating something someplace, and I think that that's counterproductive to do that. So although I appreciate all that you're doing and I'll vote for the bill, I just am would like that information from not just yourself but also the CORE program and all of these programs, because you know what percentage of the dollars are actually going into the hands of the veterans, because that's how I think we need to measure the effectiveness of these programs.
And Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hamill.
Well, to that point, and I think that's why we have the language right in the bill about coordinating with all other available programs. We have a bridge here. You know, there's definitely been some gaps that have been identified in the past, and we are trying to do good work to make sure that the programs are available for the veterans that need them. And we do have something that is working, and we saw testimony on that last year and the years before, on the program that is working. And you've heard it here during the testimony, the commitment to work with the local counties and everything else and where you can identify those needs. This is something that can take place on a dime. And it's we see the results that are there. And while they're working with the counties and stuff like that to identify maybe where some of the shortcomings are, that's what it's all about. And again, you know, it is in coordination with, you know, everybody here. We're asking the questions because we want to know what the answers are, because we want to make sure that the services are provided to the veterans. There's no question about that. So again, it's a bridge to help bridge some of these gaps.
And I do like the language, and it says the commissioner must ensure that this assistance will be coordinated with other available programs. We're going to count even more on the commissioner's office on that as we're developing these programs, because Representative Faust is right. I suspect now that we do have the CORE program, that will alleviate some of the things you maybe had to accomplish in some of these areas, because we do have mental health counseling and financial counseling, other things available right there now. So hopefully it's a phone call instead of a trip, or, you know, there's hopefully some efficiencies being gained with the organization, so again, you can focus on the strengths in your housing programs and some of the others also beyond that. So, Ms. Vitales, we sure didn't mean to interrupt you, but we'll do that whenever
no,
we want.
No, that's all right. Quite all right, sir. Basically, the other thing I was trying to show are the leveraging of federal funds that we can bring to this state. And we got some of the ARRA stimulus grants that we're using in certain areas of the state for rents. If there is a federal fund for veterans, we're accessing that money, and we're able to bring that in. So I just listed here with HUD, Emergency Food and Shelter Program, ESG grants, the Department of Labor Vets Homeless Veteran Reintegration Program. That is one thing as a nonprofit we're able to do for this state, is bring some of that money here to Minnesota for our veterans.
Do you have an estimate on how much total federal funding roughly you'd bring in a year?
$625,000.
Okay.
Is a an estimate as I was looking at our audit yesterday for trying to roll it all up.
Okay. Thank you.
I think in order to allow time for the testimonies too, I wanted to talk about, and let's see, the supportive services, we fill the gaps. And I think maybe this gets at a little bit, Sir Chairman Junkie, that sometimes all of these different programs out there, and it is very important to coordinate with them so we don't duplicate, but sometimes the eligibility for a lot of these programs is, like unemployment. Well, you have to be, you know, they look at your income for the past 3 months, or they look at, and people just fall through those cracks. and they don't quite meet the guidelines. And that's why we view ourselves as that safety net. And I think that's what Secretary Shinseki also saw with our statewide implementation, working with all the counties, that we're that last piece that can go in to fill those cracks and those gaps in services. And close to, with a full-time staff of 12,000 contacts, I've talked about how many we were able to assist last year. Two trends that we're, of course, seeing that everyone is, female veterans, now this is prevention and homeless, of the number of veterans we see is 9% and rising. Veterans with a disability that we serve, 76% of our clients have some sort of disability. And the OIF veterans are 19% and rising. And then the summary are the, and it's very important to us, and that's what we strive to do, are the non-duplicated services. If there's another program out there that we can leverage dollars, and there are many groups, Soldiers Angels, I mean, we go and find what other groups can leverage things in these counties as well. Who can piece together some of this funding? And that's what we do. It is very important for us not to have any duplication. And so bridge that gap and be that safety net. And then as I'm still using my slide that I used last year, but you can see here are all the programs that my staff know. They understand the eligibility in all of these programs. And they make that appropriate referral and will follow that veteran until they're back on their feet. And that's basically what I had for slides and an update. We have an annual report that I've included in your information so you can see some of our stories. And at this time, I'd like to ask a couple our veterans to give a short testimony, if that would be okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Have a seat there. Welcome to the committee. We're on a tape, so we need you to introduce yourself and your name for the tape.
I'm former Sergeant Elmer Heller Duncan of the Anoka National Guard.
Okay.
I'm a veteran from 98 to 2008, served in the Balkans, Iraq, and Operation Caregiver here in Minnesota. This program that you've been hearing about is really the mortar of any veteran's treatment as they come through these programs. Myself, I've been fighting a battle with the federal government since 05 to get treatment, and although I'm served on a health care program, there are still obviously the parts about disability and other things that come with returning from a war such as OIF-2, where when it comes to the timeline that it takes for them to get to us, this program really does fill that gap. I completed two treatments up in St. Cloud, and both times, the first two of three, when I came out of the treatment, there was nothing further to pursue until I finally, the third time, I found MACV. MACV was the first program to step up and fill that gap and place me in housing, place me through a program that would allow me to reintegrate through employment. They've been a supportive staff that when there's a problem, veterans, we often run into many difficulties with the community just because we're not built the same as everybody else. We obviously have some alterations to our personalities, and this program helps us reintegrate into the rest of society. What else we do is through the work programs and stuff, we then become a tool for this program to go out and help other veterans to continue to do the same thing. Me, myself, I work as work therapy and a ward assistant with oncology and hematology with veterans, and am able to then assist those veterans in getting better as well. So not only does this program help, but the direct interaction with veterans, but also the continued support that we then fold over to other veterans becomes a vital tool to the community. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your story, and thank you for your service. Welcome.
Thank
just introduce yourself for the tape and proceed.
My name is Stephen Dwayne Wright. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. I was in the U.S. Navy from 91 to 97. I've lived in Minnesota since year 2000. I just want to say for the MACB program that it provides hope and prosperity for veterans who have come along the wayside and found that they have lost some perspective in their life, lost some focus, and are coming up through a hard economic time with foreclosure and unemployment rates being high. I found out about MACB through word of mouth. I never knew that a veterans program existed to help people who had fallen by the wayside after being in the private sector for so long. I think I stayed out being homeless and just working from job to job for about 4 years until I found MACB, and I tell you, MACB has put a new fire in me about where I want to take my life and the way I should live, and has also provided a very good staff that helps you address issues that you don't even see in yourself. You know, I went through St. Cloud. St. Cloud made me aware of some behavioral things that I never really paid much attention to throughout my life that kept hindering me each time I progressed towards a successful career or did things that I was proud of, and I never could figure out, well, why do I get to this plateau and throw it all away instead of just going over the peak and going over to the other side? So there was something inside of me that I needed to figure out and work those issues out. I tell you, it makes me want to be successful even more, because I know that there's a support staff behind me that's willing to be there for me and will make me open up about what's going on with me. And I tell you, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, and I've lived in Virginia, California. I've also been down in Florida for a little bit because of my career before I came to Minnesota. And I tell you, if it were not for MACB, I probably would still be out in the streets. And that's where I don't want to be. You know, I am a person who has principles, who have morals, but you know, sometime along the way a person loses that and he gives up and he figures there's no hope there. And MACB has given me hope again and lets me know that there's people out there that care. Thank you for letting me speak.
All right. Thank you for your story and your service. Got another one? Yep. Come on down. Welcome to the committee. Glad to have you here. Just introduce yourself for the tape and tell us what you want to tell us.
All right. My name is Mike Lewis. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, U.S. Army. I'd just like briefly to say that I truly believe that MACB program here is definitely on the behalf of us veterans that's been placed in a crisis situation. You know, some of us come from environments that have been from addiction to homelessness and unemployment. You know, in this place, MACB stepped up to give us a hand to try to point us in the direction, you know, we can become productive members of society. Because a lot of us out here, all we need is one chance, you know, to move forward. And I truly believe that this program has reached out to help us vets, you know, that really need some help. With that, I go.
What brought you up to Minnesota from Kansas City?
Well, I came up here, you know, because I want a new beginning, sir. A new environment, a new place.
Okay.
And
well, you picked a good state.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love it up here. You know,
good.
It's beautiful.
Good. We're going to bring you over to the tourism committee next.
And hey, I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you for your service and thanks
for thank
the
thank you very much.
Yep.
All right.
We have one more, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Wasn't mine. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the tape and proceed.
Committee. My name is Robert Thames. I recently was the senior member at MACB program. I've completed 2 years in the program, and I can say personally it saved my life and also gave me a new perspective on the things I need to achieve on my own now. When I first came to MACV, I was going through a bad divorce. And I took it kind of hard, found myself turning into an alcoholic behind it. And I happened to know Jimmy Collier. And I came to him with that situation in my hands. And I needed some help. And I told him I needed some help to save my life, you know. I wasn't strong enough to deal with the demise of my marriage. And I found it in a bottle. And that's when Jimmy showed me, hey, you ain't got to do this, partner, you know. You're a better person than that, and gave me opportunity to join the program. I've been in the program two years and maybe 4 months. And I've just completed back here in January the 15th. I moved out, got my own place now, and currently looking for employment. But what I would like to also add, Chairman, is what Kathy was trying to express. I've seen a lot of vets in the 2 years that I've been in the program come through the door. I mean, with situations where their lights might be cut off in a moment, and they need the money today, you know, instead of going to the VSO. A lot of times it takes 2 weeks, maybe three, before they can even get it approved, but they have it right then and there. I've seen them do it a many time, and with the current situation we have in economically, you know, I think we're going to need more of it, to be honest with you. You know, we got a lot of veterans to come home within the next 2 years, you know, telling we don't get them no jobs. They could be knocking that vaccine's door. Trust me on that. I believe that. And I really think the program is great, and it's going to do a lot more wonders for a lot more people.
And which MACV facility did you
were
you
one in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis.
Yes, sir.
Is that where you live now, too?
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
Any questions? All right. Thanks for your testimony.
Thanks
for your service.
Appreciate it.
All right. What else we got here?
Well,
Mr. Chairman,
if you don't, I'm here for any other questions that you might have. And I guess the last comment, I've had a bit to think a little bit as I was sitting there, is again, it's the speed with which we can react and the gaps. There are some gaps in these other programs based on eligibility, and it's sifting through all of that to try to get that veteran everything that they need.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other comments from the committee or questions? Obviously, we'll be digging in the seat cushions with you and seeing what we can come up with as we put our bills for the next couple days here. So,
well, Mr. Chairman, we're all in this together.
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
We have one more bill today before we sneak out here. I think we have session today, too, a quick session to move papers. So I want to make sure we get people out of here in time. Doty. And again, the 3113 is just laid over for future inclusion, perhaps, in a bill. And Representative Doty, I'm looking for the bill here. 3101. Representative Doty moves House File 3101 before the committee. And again, for consideration down the line here somewhere. So, Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, as we try to work with the department to do best practices for our returning vets, we sometimes find that we've missed things along the way. And they found that working with the veteran and his family has been very, very effective. But existing language in the Support Our Troops account just basically doesn't allow that. The current uses of the funding that are authorized include grants to veteran service organizations and outreach to underserved veterans and the Gold Star license plates, but they don't allow to provide for services and programs for veterans and their families. And so that's simply the intent of this bill, is to include families. And for specifics on that, I would turn it over to Deputy Commissioner Puglisi.
Thank you, Representative Doty. Mr. Chair, members, Mike Puglisi, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Representative Doty laid it out quite nicely. And as we spoke earlier in your office, Mr. Chair, we are needing to use these funds to backfill behind some of our vital programs, such as the Minnesota Corps and State Soldier Assistance Program. Right now, we really do not have that authority to do that. So we're seeking that authority. We can use it for outreach, which means we can use some of the money for the core and the SSAP programs in those outreach aspects. But for some of those direct services for our veterans, right now we're not allowed to use that. And it would really empower us to be able to react quickly so that we can provide that quick, meaningful help into the veterans community. So I ask that you consider this favorably.
And as this account grows and hopefully continues to grow, besides the core, what are some other things that this change would allow you, particularly the family piece that Representative Doty brought up?
You know, Mr. Chair and members, the State Soldiers Assistance Program provides very meaningful and timely assistance into the veteran community too, for the families as well as the veteran. So we're going to need it to backfill behind that program too, because we're coming close to running out of funds for that program. We've used it, you know, as the bill before you shows, for grants to veteran service organizations. Each year we provide an appropriation to the American Legions, the VFWs, the Purple Hearts, so that they can continue to provide those types of services that they're known for in the community as well. We've also been asked to pay for the Gold Star plates out of this fund, which we gladly do. That's not a big hit, that's for sure. But also our outreach services. As you've heard by some of the testifiers earlier from MACV, a lot of veterans aren't aware of the programs that are out there. Less than 40% of veterans ever come forward and ask and use the benefits and services that are available to them. It's because we don't have marketing funds. You don't see the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs market their benefits and services. We need to have outreach in order to get out there, heighten awareness, and reach out to those veterans that don't come forward. So a lot of the money in this program is used for outreach services, which are FTE, out in the field, reaching out to those veterans. That's primarily how we use the funds.
Okay. Now I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Talk to us about the testimony you just heard from MACV, and in particular, talk to us about what kind of time lags you have that they're able to address and why those time lags are. And again, I'm thinking of the CVSO grants and other things where we do hearing aids and eyeglasses. And, you know, is that available to any veteran that comes into a CVSO office? And or if there's a lag, why is there a lag? We're trying to understand some of that.
Mr. Chair and members, we don't have in our department a homeless veterans program or initiative. And the reason we don't is because we've partnered closely with MACV for years, for decades, because they can do what we can't, just like LSS and the CORE program can do in the community what we can't. Statewide significance, experts that are delivering these benefits and services right in the community where the veterans reside. There is some lag time with the benefits. Certainly on the federal level, they can take anywhere from 9 months to over a year for some of their benefits and services. On our side, we have a pretty quick turnaround, but since we rely on MACV and have relied on MACV for that homeless initiative and that homeless aspect, many of our benefits and services are not available to the homeless veteran community. Through our State Soldiers Assistance Program, you have to be experiencing a period of temporary disability. And if you fall into that, then we can step in and help you until you're able to get back to work. A lot of homeless veterans, they're not experiencing a period of temporary disability. They're just experiencing some financial hardships, some other issues that have put them in a position of being homeless or close to being homeless. That's why we work with MACV. They have programs in place for the housing of them. The counseling aspects of it, we partner with MACV quite a bit and the CVSOs. Now that we do have LSS, Minnesota CORE program, we really are coordinating our efforts so that we are not duplicating. But there's many things that the CORE program can't provide for the homeless veterans and that we don't provide to the homeless veterans.
Specifically, though, beyond the housing side of it, I'm more curious about the grant side that we offer in our funds. Particularly, let's say someone walks in today, they can't pay their utility bill. So they walk into a CVSO and say, I don't have the $150 bucks or the $200 bucks to pay my utility bill. I'm worried about them shutting off my gas. I can't cook tonight in my stove, whatever. How quick can you get that veteran a check to take care of that?
Mr. Chair, members, we can turn around. You know, we work very closely with the CVSOs. If it's an urgent need, we can turn it around in a couple of days. The problem is, and I know MACV partners very closely with the CVSOs on these special needs grants that we're making to the counties. One of the problems is It's a once, right now as it exists, it's a once-in-a-lifetime grant because the funds aren't there to continue to provide these grants. So many veterans are very mindful of that, so they might not want to come forward and say, hey, I need $150 to keep my lights on. Mm-hmm. They might say, you know what, I might be homeless here soon. I want to wait until I need them to keep me in my home. So while they do use it, and I know MACV partners with the CVSOs, a lot of times what they're doing is we identify a homeless veteran that's in a need.
My main concern is the turnaround time. So you are able to turn around a request fairly quickly in that type of a situation.
Through our state soldiers assistance program, we have an average turnaround time of 1 week.
Okay. Very good. Any questions to the Doty bill or anything else? All right, members. Representative Doty, thank you. We'll be laying this over for possible inclusion down the line on a larger bill. And thank you, Deputy Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, yeah. Members, how are we on time? Can I talk about another quick issue, cemetery?
Oh, I imagine you're there.
Thank you very much. You got the mic. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're good. We have session at noon, I think, so okay. We have a little time.
I wanted to wait until we were good 30. On time. Okay.
You got an hour.
Wow, I can go on.
Well,
I won't take that, I promise. You know, we were talking about cemeteries earlier, and I didn't want to come up because I wanted to make sure we had enough time. But I just want everybody to be aware that the legislature is driving this bus. Where these, you know, cemeteries are going to be placed, how many we're going to have. The department's not driving this and coming forward with this. Right. So I appreciate having it more regionalized. Mm-hmm. Because when it says Redwood, we can't look outside Redwood. We right. have to look within Redwood. So now we have the ability to look outside of those areas. The one that locates the northeastern area, we're able to look all over Northeast, not just in Duluth. So we appreciate the ability to do that. The study that was done for one legislator who asked us to do that. We didn't make it public because we don't want the veteran community to think we can have a cemetery wherever we want. It's up to the legislature to tell us, do you want one and where do you want one? Mm-hmm. We'll make that study available to whoever you want. But we were afraid if we did that, it would create some confusion where a lot of communities would say, oh, great, we can have a cemetery. We can't have a cemetery in every county. So we have to be very mindful with where we place them. So I do appreciate the discussion. I do appreciate the approach of having it generalized as a region or you know, rather than a specific county.
I think that study did formalize or it generalized, but it formalized the process you go through. So I think people do understand that it's really, and it's driven by federal. They want to know how many population-wise, where's the next closest cemetery. There's some very specifics they look at before you draw those circles on a map. But you're doing that in coordination with federal requirements, I believe.
Mr. Chair, members, you're exactly right. Just like with veterans' homes, the placement has to be right. And we can only have a certain number of cemeteries to serve this state. So we're trying to locate those pockets where we have the densest population of veterans, where it makes sense. And we're doing a good job of that. One concern I do have, though, is we're adding a lot more locations to the mix, but we're not adding money. So every location that's being added, that money's not going to be able to provide a cemetery right. in all those locations. We only have right now about enough for two cemeteries, and I think there's a few more that are going to be coming forward. So right now we're looking at anywhere from 4 to 5 locations. The money's not going to support that.
Well, eventually, I think it's a pretty good deal. I think it's money we can work on here
it's
at the legislature. I'm not overly concerned about that. I think there's bipartisan support to maintain a veteran cemetery. So just confirm what I said, too, so I wasn't speaking out of school. It is open to any veteran, right? I mean, if I'm in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and want to use the cemetery in southeast Minnesota, there's not a border issue there, right? It's a veteran's a veteran, regardless of geography.
Mr. Chair, members, you know, it's at the discretion of the department. We do open it up because we think it's the right thing to do, and by doing that, we get higher on the priority list of the VA. So we do that. Wisconsin doesn't do that. A lot of other states don't do that, but we think it's the right thing to do.
Good. That's interesting. That moves you up the VA list, too. Any other questions on anything else? Thank you for coming. Thank you for the testimony. Representative Doty, thank you for your bill. Members, we're going to continue to work on budgets, and I hope by tomorrow morning we'll have something. If not, stay tuned to your computers, and we'll be playing it by ear the next couple of days. So any questions on budgets or other things, come see me or Andrew Dewar, the CA. We are adjourned.